was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Behold that pale horse, Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, tonight we'll be delving into one of those phenomena that I can't believe for the life of me has still been able to continue on. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. A dangerous creature has been
I cannot accept that course of action. I cannot accept that course of action.
My computer is the best on earth.
Does not compute. Does not compute.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
What's wrong with that creature? I shall probably catch a dreadful cold in my delicate back while that creature rests comfortably in my bed.
I want to find and see this wonderful creature of my imagination.
This creature appeared, and its attitude was decidedly hostile.
I don't relish the prospect of staying here alone with this terrible creature, dead or alive.
My dear sir, you see before
Mr.
you
President,
an unhappy creature
status
who
control
until a few short hours ago was in the full flower
this moment,
of his youth.
Spacecraft.
That vindictive creature. He took everything back. Come along, Penny. We will leave this belligerent creature to his own devices. I'd much rather stay here with that bush creature. Is that the only thing you can say, you ridiculous creature?
Try to keep this creature understand.
Paul Hiller, you anything else but a creature.
No, oh, that's
hurry, hurry, hurry. See the strange creatures. Watch them eat, drink, sleep.
Only that's awesome. All right. Well, folks, let's get on to a more serious note. Out of Freedom Outpost, Tim Brown, a highly respected author that we go to often and an affiliate, a co-worker of Laurie Anderson, who's a host on this show. The Clinton body count just went up by 5 in the past 6 weeks. Activist Bernie Sanders supporter Sean Lucas is the latest person to line up alongside others in the Clinton body count. He is the 5th person who has been a threat to the Clintons to die in the past several weeks. Lucas, along with filmmaker Ricardo Villalba, recently served papers to the Democratic National Committee Services Corporation and the former chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, with regards to a fraud class action lawsuit against the Democratic Party. Now, in a minute, we're going to be rolling a clip of the video that the gentleman took of Lucas serving these papers. As evidence, this did occur, and it was him. The serving of the papers came before WikiLeaks released documents that prove the DNC was working against the Sanders campaign. However, on August 2nd, 2016, Lucas was found dead on his bathroom floor. And though Tim doesn't like quoting Snopes for their clear ties to lots of shady leftists and Marxists, they did claim to have contacted Lucas's employer to verify rumors that he did, in fact, die. We contacted Lucas's employer on 4 August 2016 to ask whether there was any truth to the rumor. According to an individual with whom we spoke at that company, Sean Lucas died on the 2nd of August 2016. The audibly and misunderstandably shaken employee stated that interest in the circumstances of Lucas's death had prompted a number of phone calls and other queries, but the company had not yet ascertained any details about Lucas's cause of death and were unable to confirm anything more than the fact that he had passed away. An unconfirmed report holds that Lucas was found lying on the bathroom floor by his girlfriend when she returned home on the evening of August 2nd, August 2016. Paramedics responding to her 911 call found no signs of life. Okay. The 27-year-old's death has been connected to two other deaths with possible connections to Hillary Clinton, DNC staffer Seth Conrad Rich, and author Victor Thorne. Oh, my condolences to Victor. There had been a struggle. His hands were bruised. His knees are bruised. His face is bruised. And yet, he had two shots to the back. And yet, they never took anything, his mother, Mary Rich, told the NBC News. They took his life for literally no reason. They didn't finish robbing him. They just took his life, she added. They hurt the community, and they hurt the long-term possibility of what he could have done. Could it be that the intent was to make it appear as a robbery, but was really just to end the young man's life? Additionally, the former head of the United Nations General Assembly, who was tied to a Chinese donor of the Clintons and was set to be tried for bribery, was found dead in June. Reports claim that he has a heart attack and that a barbell fell on his neck as a result. Yeah, we reported on that one. Folks, I'm going to roll the clip of the serving of the papers to the DNC. This is evidence that this gentleman, who is now dead, walked into the DNC with the lawsuit to serve Debbie Wasserman Schultz and a list of others. Can you roll that clip?
So here we are in front of the Democratic National Headquarters. We're about to go in there, and we're going to serve them with some legal papers. My name is Ricardo. I'm a video producer as well, and I'm very excited to do this. We have Lucas that's getting ready, so we're going to follow him. We don't know if the security is going to let us film inside, but we're going to try. And here we go. You ready, Lucas? Okay, let's go. Let's do this.
Let's do this.
All right, so you guys are going to witness this, how we serve in the suit. Okay.
Good, how are you?
How you doing?
We have some papers to drop off with you.
Do you
need to
do that?
Do you have a contact? Either Debbie Wasserman, Ravik, Maria Durazzo, Donnie Brazel, Raymond Bundy.
Debbie Wasserman.
Yeah.
Anybody
on this list? Okay. Yeah, we're not there. All right. Anyway, I'm still looking.
Okay. So as you can see, we got to go through
security. You need an ID? Yes. I'm going to see if I can get somebody to come down.
Okay.
Okay. They're going to try to get someone to come down.
Rise into that seat.
Okay.
So how many is it? Is it two files?
Two files.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One for Debbie and one for the DNC as a whole.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, as you know, it's a holiday weekend, so we're assuming a lot of people are out of town, so we probably won't be able to serve Debbie in person. But we're still here. We're here, and you guys are going to witness this live right now. No, I don't think so. I think he's happy. I think the guard is fine. He's just doing his job.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get somebody back.
Yeah, thank you.
No
yeah.
problem.
It looks like everybody's leaving earlier too.
I know, right?
It's been long
here all day, though. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are happy about this. Somebody says they're happy about this too.
I'm very happy.
Look at him.
Thrilled.
Sad yeah, we. I think we're very excited because I feel like this is kind of we're going to push the Democratic Party
to do the right thing,
exactly, to do the right thing and to really advocate for people like us, the people that are really struggling, you know, and
the constituents
and all that, and not just serve the wealthy people.
Can I see that list of cars?
Yeah. Anybody on that would be great. I believe that was part of some of the issues. Too hot out there.
Yeah.
It's a warm one today.
Yeah.
Wow, we have 140 viewers right now.
Nice.
It's a lot.
I'm sure.
I never got that many viewers before.
Okay, folks. Now, I'm going to publish this video, and you can watch the rest of it. It is published to my Facebook timeline. It's published to the RTR Truth Media Twitter stream. It's published to Google Plus. And we'll also be sharing this through Resurrect the Republic. You can also go to freedomoutpost.com and read Tim's article. The Clinton body count just went up by 5 in the past 6 weeks. Now, what I'd like to share with you also is a report via Truth Stream Media. Highly respect their work. Both of them are incredible individuals. So do you have that clip ready, Mike? Okay. Roll Truth Stream Media, Clinton body count, plus 5 in 6 weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have your Clinton body count page open because she's not quite there, but she's on her way, ascending to the throne, taking over the White House. And at that point, who knows if anyone can stop her. Maybe it's already too late. Just in the last few weeks, there's been at least 4 people definitely confirmed dead who are within a very tight circle of the controversies surrounding Clinton. All this corruption and disgusting stuff going on, and they're dropping dead. We better be paying attention. We better be tracking these people.
What's really creepy is that just in the last week, in a 48-hour period, you had 2 people, 2 very vocal, well-known anti-Clinton activists and researchers die, and the media isn't talking about it at all. It's barely a peep about these 2 dead people anywhere. First of all, you have on August 1st, Victor Thorne. He's a very well-known Clinton researcher who wrote the definitive Clinton trilogy on Bill Clinton's sexual assaults, the drug running out of MENA, Arkansas, and the Clinton body count. That's what he's most well-known for. He's also a writer for American Free Press, and he was found dead from a gunshot wound on a mountaintop near his home on his birthday. He would have been 54 years old. And they're calling it a suicide, but again, the police have not released an official statement. There are no official press releases on this at all. In fact, the only story really on this is from the American Free Press itself.
And now he's part of that body count, and there's been suggestions that maybe he had health problems, but given his track record being very well known in the alternative media, This is a guy who reveled in following controversy, in attacking people who deserve to be questioned, held accountable, and it seems very improbable to me that even if he was sick, depressed, whatever, suicidal, that he would do so with just a few months to go before the election, with all the frankly exciting and corrupt things to follow and comment and write about.
I mean, if this had been anybody else died like this, they would be in one of his books.
No question.
No question. And whenever the American Free Press interviewed his brother for a whole half an hour, the question was never brought up. How can his brother be so certain that this is just a suicide and not a professional hit against him in a very, very controversial election year for Hillary? Who knows if he was working on a new book about her? So you have that. The very next day, you have Sean Lucas, who's the most well-known for walking into the DNC on July 1st and serving the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz with a nationwide class action lawsuit for fraud in rigging the primary against Bernie.
Sean, hi, Becca.
How you doing, Becca?
I'm just with the DNC upstairs.
With the DNC?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is going to be a service to the DNC.
Okay.
And this is for Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Perfect.
You guys have been served.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in court.
That was probably the most gratifying thing I've ever done.
You ever been able to deliver the document?
Yeah, they wouldn't give us any of the head honchos, which I kind of had a feeling wasn't going to happen. But we did make contact with somebody from the Democratic National Committee's office, and they've been served. Democracy has prevailed today.
Exactly, and you guys all were witness to it.
Which, if anything, is a message. Not only do they want to defeat that lawsuit, but they want to discourage other people from doing so.
Apparently his girlfriend found his body on his bathroom floor. They've not released a cause of death in this. Rumors have been floating around that he died in his sleep. Was he sleeping on the bathroom floor? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So right there, August 1st and August 2nd, you have two dead people, two dead anti-Clinton people in 2 days. And the mainstream press isn't saying a word. If you go to Google News and type in Victor Thorne's name or Sean Lucas's name, you're going to find one, maybe two stories about each guy in the alternative media. You're not going to see a word of this, not even in local news reports.
There's also Joe Montano, who is the top aide to Tim Kaine, who, of course, is now the vice presidential candidate, but who was, right before Debbie Wasserman Schultz, chairman of the DNC. And when did Joe Montano die? Supposedly of a heart attack. July 25th, the day that the DNC convention started, and right after the WikiLeaks dump came out exposing all of the DNC corruption. What did Joe Montano know? But that isn't the only one. There's, of course, Seth Rich, who was a member of the DNC National Committee. He was a staffer. He had written some voter sign-up apps to help people find their voting precincts. And from what's been said about him, he may have had direct access to the entire nation's database of voters and quite possibly had firsthand knowledge of voter fraud. He was rumored to testify. I don't think that's been confirmed. But the fact of the matter is he was gunned down at 4:19 in the morning only a few weeks ago, July 10th, 2 weeks ahead of the Democratic National Committee.
These tragedies tear at our soul. And so do the incidents that don't even dominate the headlines. Just this past Sunday, a young man, Seth Rich, who worked for the Democratic National Committee to expand voting rights, was shot and killed in his neighborhood in Washington. He was just 27 years old. Surely we can agree that weapons of war have no place on the streets of America.
And they suggested it was like a botched robbery, but they didn't take his wallet, they didn't take his expensive watch, they didn't take his cell phone. His body was covered in bruises, and even just a few days ago, August 1st, police officially have said there's no updates in the murder. They have no idea why. He was just randomly gunned down in the streets. Well, you know, D.C. is a very violent place. Was he going to testify? Did he have information? Well, Assange has hinted strongly that it could have been a DNC staffer who leaked the WikiLeaks stuff that surrounded the controversy of the convention, showed the corruption of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and it's possible that was Seth Rich. Wasserman Schultz admitted that she did know him personally and said nice things, you know, on the surface when he had died. And there are some very serious questions surrounding that for obvious reasons.
But that's not all, because just a few weeks before that, you have former United Nations official John Ash dying while lifting weights. Initially, the United Nations reported that he died of a heart attack, but then local police actually came out and said, no, his windpipe was crushed. His throat was crushed when a barbell fell on it, which they said was an accident, and that he did it to himself while working out, which, interestingly enough, just so happens to mirror the plot of a Columbo episode from the 70s called An Exercise in Fatality, where a murderer drops a barbell on a guy.
What did you say? You said that he was here alone, he decided to work out?
And makes it look like a weightlifting accident.
Because that's how ridiculous it is.
It's so ridiculous. And it just so happens that Ash was set to testify in a huge bribery scandal that, you guessed it, would have led right back to the Clintons and the DNC. Apparently, Ash and a Chinese businessman, whose name I'm not going to say because I'll probably just butcher the crap out of it, were accused of smuggling $4.5 million into the United States and lying about what it was going to be for. And the Chinese businessman is identified in a 1998 Senate document as the source of hundreds of thousands of dollars illegally being funneled through an Arkansas restaurant to the DNC during the Clinton administration. It turned into a huge scandal when all of this came out, because it turned out that the businessman was favored with more than 10 visits to the White House, including an elevator ride with Hillary Clinton. And all of these people have come out to say that this trial would have been very embarrassing. So John Ash's death, and you can see him here shaking hands with Hillary, is very, very convenient to the Hillary campaign. He winds up with a barbell crushing his windpipe. It's almost like a mafia movie. If it was in a mafia movie, wouldn't that send a message to any other snitches who might talk, a guy having his windpipe crushed?
And keep in mind, all these dots that officially, I'm sure they're going to say, are not connected, has been since Hillary was cleared by the FBI, not prosecuted for the email scandal, since Bernie was forced out of the race, and there's been a lot of dirty, dirty stuff going on with that. And how many more people are going to have to drop dead for her to get her hands around the door to the Oval Office and into power? How many more people are going to mysteriously die from absurd and ridiculous causes of death that just don't add up? I mean, use your common sense. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to see that people die around Clinton corruption scandals.
So that's 5 dead people in 6 weeks. How many more people have to die so the country can be forced to pretend to elect Hillary Clinton?
Well, there you have it, folks. It's just a trail. And these folks are involved in so many things. It's hard to, I mean, you want to talk about a fog of war. This is a fog of scandals, one after another, that would crush anyone else. It would absolutely crush anyone else. You know, I think back to the Clinton presidency, this debate that we just had, where Hillary attacked Trump for being anti-woman. This maniacal, twisted, psychopathic boutana, for lack of a better word, instead of setting her husband straight, went after the women and tried destroying them. You want to talk about a war on women? It never ends with this woman. Well, we're going to peel back some of the lies that she's told. And, you know, a lot of people that I've spoken to over the past couple of days didn't even realize that Clinton was friends with the ambassador that was killed in Libya. It seems like anybody who gets close to this woman is marked with the black mark of death. I wonder how close they were friends. Well, Trey Gowdy ripped into her pretty well.
That's the next clip that we're going to be sharing with you. We need to spread this information and keep spreading it and keep sharing it and keep knocking back the Clinton lies. Now, I'm no fan of Bernie Socialist Sanders. However, you know, it kind of shocked me that he actually openly came out to be a Democratic Socialist. I mean, they usually keep that pretty tight-lipped. But the way and the means by which Hillary essentially stole the nomination is so twistedly evil that I think that between the both, I would have rather had Sanders. And that's saying a lot, because there's a lot about Sanders that I cannot stand. It looks like their only choice here is Trump. And it seems to me a lot of Democrats are starting to move over into the Trump camp, albeit somewhat quietly. I've spoken to a few myself. Their admission to preferring Trump over someone as evil as Hillary, well, that should speak volumes. Now, this last rally that she had, there was all kinds of conspiracy theories as to if she was really there, if green screen was used, because there was definitely anomalies to the video. Well, the anomalies to the video, a lot of times people like to jump the gun and assume all sorts of crazy theories. My theory is rather simple. I believe that they're using camera tricks to make these rallies look like there are many more people there than actually are. I don't think people are coming out in droves for Hillary as they're trying to make it seem. And a couple reasons for doing that. One, of course, to try and gain more support if people think that she's got it. Two is justification if she steals the election that she had the numbers all along. Two is what I'm worried about. You know, I had said a few times, I'm thinking maybe we would be better off if Hillary got elected because not enough people are awake yet. Maybe that's what it would take. Well, I'm certainly, that is a scary thought. A very dangerous and very scary thought. I don't think that we could survive 4 years of Hillary Clinton. The bodies that drop around her husband and her, coincidentally or not, if she were in the White House, I could only imagine. Scandals just follow this woman like herpes. You know, Syed Abedin, the father of top Hillary Clinton aide Huma, outlined his view of Sharia law and how the Western world has turned Muslims hostile. There she is, Clinton's right man. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Let me tell you how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're gonna redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Broadcast on RBN. On a funny note, before I get to the next clip, well, if it's funny, I don't know. Panic, anxiety, spark, rush to build luxury bunkers for LA's super rich. Oscar winners, sports stars, and Bill Gates are building lavish bunkers with amenities ranging from swimming pool to bowling alleys as global anxiety fuels sales and owners could be the next Adam and Eve. Given the increased frequency of terrorist bombings and mass shootings and underlying sense of havoc fed by divisive election politics, it's no surprise that home security is going over the top and hitting luxurious new heights, or rather new lows, as the average depth of a new breed of sale haven that occupies thousands of square feet is 10 feet under or more. Those who can afford to pull out all the stops for so-called self-preservation are doing so. Wow, prepping has become fashionable. That's funny. Well, to prepare for nuclear bombings, to drastic climate change events, Gary Lynch, GM at Rising S Bunkers, a Texas-based company that specializes in underground bunkers and services, scores of Los Angeles residences say that sales at the most upscale end of the market, mainly to actors, pro athletes, politicians who require signed NDAs, have increased 700% this year compared with 2015. Isn't that special? What do they know that everybody else doesn't, huh? Well, anyway, you guys, I think that prepping has gone mainstream, and I think that's kind of funny considering they've told us for a long time that we were crazy for prepping. Anyway, so I've called Hillary Clinton a liar and a deviant. Well, I want to back that up with some evidence. Next is a clip of which she is essentially dismantled for her lies. Please roll that clip.
Well, I have to say I'm a little confused today because my colleague pointed to an email suggesting that you weren't aware that we had a presence in Benghazi. So if you weren't aware we had a presence, I don't know how you could have interfered with the security there. But nonetheless, I do think that's what they're aiming at. I know the ambassador was someone you helped pick. I know the ambassador was a friend of yours. And I wonder if you would like to comment on what it's like to be the subject of an allegation that you deliberately interfered with security that cost the life of a friend.
Well, Congressman, it's a very personally painful accusation.
No more painful than it was for Stephen.
Rejected and disproven by nonpartisan, dispassionate investigators, but nevertheless, having it continued to be bandied around is deeply distressing to me. You know, I would imagine I've thought more about what happened than all of you put together.
What difference does it make?
I've lost more sleep than all of you put together. I have been racking my brain about what more could have been done or should have been done. And so when I took responsibility, I took it as a challenge and an obligation to make sure before I left the State Department that what we could learn, as I'm sure my predecessors did after Beirut and after Nairobi and Dar es Salaam and after all of the other attacks on our facilities, I'm sure all of them, Republican and Democrat alike, especially where there was loss of American life, said, okay, what must we do better? How do we protect the men and women that we send without weapons, without support from the military into some of the most dangerous places in the world?
Oh, just pause that.
And so I will continue.
I can answer that question, Hillary. Hillary, this is what you do. The millions that you spend on the French consulate, you could have hired a team to man that building, or you could have let those who were so close that could have rescued them, who ended up ignoring orders and going anyway, only after it was too late, unfortunately, you could have let them go. See, the thing about this twisted, maniacal, evil woman is she's so eloquent. What could she have learned? You could learn not to be a psychopathic, warmongering, twisted, maniacal. Oh, I can't use the words on the air. You get the point. Go ahead, roll the clip.
places in the world. And so I will continue to speak out and do everything I can from whatever position I'm in to honor the memory of those we lost and to work as hard as I know to try to create more understanding and cooperation between the State Department, our diplomats, our development professionals from USAID, and the Congress, so that the Congress is a partner with us, as was the case in previous times. I would like us to get back to those times, Congressman, whereas I think one of you said, Beirut, we lost far more Americans, not once but twice within a year. There was no partisan effort. People rose above politics. A Democratic Congress worked with a Republican administration to say, what do we need to learn? Out of that came the legislation for the Accountability Review Board. Similarly, after we lost more Americans in the bombings in East Africa,
again, not even
Republicans and Democrats worked together. Said, what do we need to do better? So I'm an optimist, Congressman. I'm hoping that that will be the outcome of this and every other effort so that we really do honor not only those we lost, but all those who right as we speak are serving in dangerous places representing the values and the interests of the American people.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Gentleman from California yields back. I'm going to address a couple of things that he said and then recognize myself. Because he invoked the family members of the four, Madam Secretary, and partially this will be for your benefit also, but I want to specifically address the family members that are here. There is no theory of the prosecution, Mr. Schiff, because there is no prosecution. There's a very big difference between a prosecution where you already have reached a conclusion and you're just trying to prove it to people. This is an investigation, which is why it's so sad that nowhere in that stack that you just put up there where the emails of Secretary Clinton, the emails of the ambassador, 50,000 pages worth of documents, eyewitnesses, that's the real tragedy. To the family and the friends, when you're told that there have been seven previous investigations in an ARB, you should immediately ask, why did you miss so many witnesses? Why did you miss so many documents? This is not a prosecution, Mr. Schiff. You and I are both familiar with them. I've reached no conclusions, and I would advise you to not reach any conclusions either until we reach the end. There are 20 more witnesses. So I'll agree not to reach any conclusions if you'll do the same. With that, Madam Secretary, regardless of where he ranked in the order of advisors, it is undisputed that a significant number of your emails were to or from a Sidney Blumenthal. Now, he did not work for the State Department. He didn't work for the U.S. government at all. He wanted to work for the State Department, but the White House said no to him. Do you recall who specifically at the White House rejected Sidney Blumenthal?
No, I do not.
After he was turned down for a job at the State Department by the White House, he went to work where?
I think he had a number of consulting contracts with different entities.
Well, if he had a number of them, do you recall any of them?
I know that he did some work for my husband.
Well, he worked for the Clinton Foundation.
That's correct.
Okay. He worked for Media Matters.
I'm sure he did.
He worked for Correct the Record.
I'm sure he did.
When you were asked about Sidney Blumenthal, you said he was an old friend who sent you unsolicited emails, which you passed on in some instances because you wanted to hear from people outside what you called the bubble. We will ignore for a second whether or not Sidney Blumenthal is outside the bubble, but I do want to ask you about a couple of those other comments, because what you left out was that he was an old friend who knew absolutely nothing about Libya, was critical of President Obama and others that you work with, loved to send you political and image advice, had business interests in Libya, which he not only alerted you to, but solicited your help for, and you often forwarded his emails, but usually only after you redacted out any identifier so nobody knew where the information was coming from. What does the word unsolicited mean to you?
It means that I did not ask him to send me the information that he sent me. And as I have previously stated, some of it I found interesting, some of it I did not, some of it I forwarded, some of it I did not. I did not know anything about any business interests. I thought that just as I said previously, newspaper articles, journalists, of which he is one, a former journalist, had some interesting insights. And so we, you know, we took them on board and evaluated them, and some were helpful and others were not.
We're going to get to all the points you just made, but I want to start with your public comment that these emails were unsolicited. You wrote to him, "Another keeper, thanks and please keep them coming. Greetings from Kabul and thanks for keeping this stuff coming. Any other info about it?" Question mark.
So much for unsolicited.
"What are you hearing now?" Question mark. "Got it. We'll follow up tomorrow. Anything else to convey?" Question mark. Now, that one is interesting because that was the very email where Mr. Blumenthal was asking you to intervene on behalf of a business deal that he was pursuing in Libya. What did you mean by "what are you hearing now"?
I have no idea, Congressman. They started out unsolicited, and as I said, some were of interest. I passed them on, and some were not. And well, so he continued to provide me information that was made available to him.
I don't want to parse words, and I don't want to be hyper-technical, because it's not a huge point, but it is an important point. You didn't say they started off unsolicited. You said
they were.
You said they were unsolicited.
Well, they were unsolicited, but obviously I did respond to some of them.
Well,
and I'm sure that encouraged him.
Anything else to convey? What are you hearing now? "I'm going to Paris tomorrow night. We'll meet with TNC leaders, so this and additional info useful. Still don't have electricity or BlackBerry coverage post-Irene, so I've had to resort to my new iPad. Let me know if you receive this." We'll talk about the new iPad in a little bit. Here's another one. "This report is in part a response to your questions." That's an email from him to you. This report is in part a response to your questions. There'll be further information in the next day. If you're the one asking him for information, how does that square with the definition of unsolicited?
I said it began that way, Mr. Chairman, and I will add that both Chris Stevens and Gene Kretz found some of the information interesting, far more than I could, because they knew some of the characters who were being mentioned, and they were the ones, the kind of persons with the expertise that I asked to evaluate to see whether there was any useful information.
We're going to get to that in a second. Now, before you give Mr. Blumenthal too much credit, you agree he didn't write a single one of those cables or memos he sent you.
I'm sorry, what?
He didn't write a single one of those cables or memos.
I don't know who wrote them. He's the one who sent them to me.
Would you be surprised to know not a single one of those was from him?
I don't know where he got the information that he
was sending to me. Did you ask? You're sending me very specific, detailed intelligence. What is your source? That seems to me like a pretty good question.
I did learn later that he was talking to or sharing information from former American intelligence officials.
By the name of? Who wrote those cables?
I don't recall. I don't know, Mr. Chairman.
You had his information passed on to others, but at least on one occasion you asked Ms. Abedin, "Can you print without any identifiers?" Why would you want his name removed?
Because I thought that it would be more important to just look at the substance and to make a determination as to whether or not there was anything to it.
Well, don't people have a right to know the source of the information so they can determine credibility?
But he wasn't, as you just said, the source of the information.
But you didn't know that, Madam Secretary, and that's what you just said.
No, Mr. Chairman. I knew that he didn't. Have the sources to provide that information. I knew he was getting it from somewhere else.
He knew a lot of journalists, he knew others
in Washington. It could have been a variety of people.
Well, if you're going to determine credibility, don't you want to know the source?
Well, it wasn't credibility so much as trying to follow the threads that were mentioned about individuals. And as I already stated, some of it was useful and some of it was not.
Well, did the president know that Mr. Blumenthal was advising you?
He wasn't advising me. And, you know,
did he know,
Mr. Chairman,
that he was your most prolific emailer that we have found on the subjects of Libya and Benghazi?
That's because I didn't do most of my work Libya on
email. I'm not challenging that, Madam Secretary. I am not challenging that. All I'm telling you is the documents show he was your most prolific emailer on Libya and Benghazi. And my question to you is, did the president, the same White House that said you can't handle him, can't hire him, did he know that he was advising you?
He was not advising me, and I have no reason to have ever mentioned that or know that the president knew that.
All right, I want to draw your attention to an email about Libya from Mr. Blumenthal to you, dated April 2011. It will be Exhibit 67. And this is this is informative. Should we pass on, and in parentheticals, unidentified to the White House? If you were going to pass something on to the White House, why would you take off the identifiers?
Because it was important to evaluate the information. And from a lot of intelligence that I have certainly reviewed over the years, you often don't have the source of the intelligence. You look at the intelligence and you try to determine whether or not it is credible, whether it can be followed up on.
Well, I'm going to accept the fact that you and I come from different backgrounds, because I can tell you that an unsourced comment could never be uttered in any courtroom. You have
We're
to
not
have
talking about courtrooms, Mr. Chairman.
No,
we're talking about intelligence.
No, we're talking about credibility and the ability to assess who a source is, and whether or not that source has ever been to Libya, knows anything about Libya, or has business interest in Libya, all of which would be important if you were going to determine the credibility, which I think is why you probably took his information off of what you sent to the White House. But here's another possible explanation that may give us a sense of why maybe the White House didn't want you to hire him in the first place. In one email, he wrote this about the president's secretary of defense. I infer Gates' problem is losing an internal debate. Tyler, and by the way, Tyler is Tyler Drumheller. That's who actually authored the cables that you got from Mr. Blumenthal. Tyler knows him well, but, and says he's a mean, vicious little, I'm not going to say the word, but he did. This is an email from Blumenthal to you about the president's secretary of defense. And here's another Blumenthal email to you about president's national security advisor. Frankly, Tom Donilon's babbling rhetoric about narratives on a phone briefing of reporters on March the 10th has inspired derision among serious foreign policy analysts both here and abroad. And here's another one from what you say is your old friend Sidney Blumenthal. This is a quote from him. I would say Obama, and by the way, he left the president part out. I would say Obama appears to be intent on seizing defeat from the jaws of victory. He and his political cronies in the White House and Chicago are, to say the least, unenthusiastic about regime change in Libya. Obama's lukewarm and self-contradicting statements have produced what is, at least for the moment, operational paralysis. I think that may give us a better understanding of why the White House may have told you you cannot hire him. Blumenthal could not get hired by our government, didn't pass any background check at all, had no role with our government, had never been to Libya, had no expertise in Libya, was critical of the president and others that you worked with, shared polling data with you on the intervention in Libya, gave you political advice on how to take credit for Libya, all the while working for the Clinton Foundation and some pseudo-news entities. And, Madam Secretary, he had unfettered access to you. And he used that access, at least on one occasion, to ask you to intervene on behalf of a business venture. Do you recall that?
You know, Mr. Chairman, if you don't have any friends who say unkind things privately, I congratulate you. But from my perspective,
I'd like to think I'd correct them.
I don't know what this line of questioning does to help us get to the bottom of the deaths for Americans.
I'll be happy to help you understand that, Madam Secretary.
But I want to reiterate what I said to Congresswoman Sanchez. These were originally unsolicited. You've just said that perhaps the main, if not the exclusive author, was a former intelligence agent for our country who rose to the highest levels of the CIA and who was given credit for being one of the very few who pointed out that the intelligence used by the Bush administration to go to war in Iraq was wrong. So I think that, you know, the sharing of information from an old friend that I did not take at face value, that I sent on to those who were experts, is something that, you know, makes sense, but it was certainly not in any way the primary source of or the predominant understanding that we had of what was going on in Libya and what we needed to be doing.
Well, Madam Secretary, I'm out of time, and we'll pick this back up the next round, but I'll go ahead and let you know ahead of time why it's relevant. It's relevant because our ambassador was asked to read and respond to Sidney Blumenthal's drivel. It was sent to him to read and react to, in some instances, on the very same day he was asking for security. So I think it is eminently fair to ask why Sidney Blumenthal had unfettered access to you, Madam Secretary, with whatever he wanted to talk about, and there's not a single solitary email to or from you, to or from Ambassador Stevens. I think that is fair, and we'll take that up.
Gentlemen, yield.
Sure.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, you've made several inaccurate statements over the past month as you have tried to defend against multiple Republican admissions that the Select Committee has been wasting millions of tax dollars to damage Secretary Clinton's bid for president. On Sunday, you made another inaccurate statement during your appearance on Face the Nation, and it's being taken up here, and this is the relevance. Here's what you said, and I quote, "There are other folks who may have equities in her emails, and there may be other entities who are evaluating her emails. But my interest in them is solely making sure that I get everything I'm entitled to so that I can do my job. The rest of it, classification, Clinton Foundation, you name it, I have zero interest in it, which is why you haven't seen me send a subpoena related to it or interview a single person other than Brian Pagliano, because I need to know that the record is complete. And I'm going back to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I'm waiting on you. I've been very patient.
Just wait.
I'm waiting on the inaccurate statement.
I'm getting there. Mr. Chairman,
well, we gotta take
your statement was, well, it's not going to take long. You took up 4 minutes over, so let me have three.
I've let everybody go over, including you, Mr. Connor.
Thank you very much. You issued a subpoena to Sidney Blumenthal on May 19th, 2015, compelling him to appear for a deposition on June 16th, 2015. You issued this subpoena unilaterally without giving the Select Committee members the opportunity to debate or vote on it. You sent two armed marshals to serve the subpoena on Mrs. Blumenthal's wife at their home without having ever sent him a request to participate voluntarily, which he would have done. Then, Mr. Chairman, you personally attended Mr. Blumenthal's deposition. You personally asked him about the Clinton Foundation, and you personally directed your staff to ask questions about the Clinton Foundation, which they did more than 50 times. Now, these facts directly contradict the statements you made on national television this last Sunday.
No, sir. With all due respect, they do not. We just heard email after email after email about Libya and Benghazi that Sidney Blumenthal sent to the Secretary of State. I don't care if he sent it by Morse code, carrier pigeon, smoke signals. The fact that he happened to send it by email is irrelevant. What is relevant is that he was sending information to the Secretary of State. That is what's relevant. Now, with respect to the subpoena, if he'd bothered to answer the telephone calls of our committee, he wouldn't have needed a subpoena.
Okay. You gotta love it, folks. You gotta love it. Trey doesn't know how to get to the truth now. I don't know if we can do anything about that, but hey, at least we know she's crooked. We'll be back the second hour with Eustace Mullins and how the Clintons are tied into the New World Order. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the internet. We'll be right back.
photo ops.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.